The Blueprint with Chris Phillips on Jazz FM.
Listening Colour.
Thank you. That is Benign Tonight, and it's become a bit of a favourite of myself and Ruth Fisher and Jez Nelson. It is from the latest album from, let's call him, British Jazz Stalwart. And that's Roger Beaujolais on the vibes, who is joining me as promised here on The Blueprint. Roger, welcome.
Ah, thank you.
It's been an awful long time since we've spoken on the radio or got together. Jazz FM has been around an awful long time in many different guises, as have you, of course. Mm-hmm. But those of us that remember your very early days with the Jump and Jive sound with Ray Gelato.
Oh, yes.
And then through the acid jazz era with Vibraphonic and all sorts of different groups.
Yes.
This is your 19th album.
Indeed, yes.
And you must look back over your career with, well, obviously with immense pride, but also how you've developed as a musician, because you kind of came to this whole thing quite late as well, didn't you?
I think, yeah, I did. I don't know anyone who came as late as I did and has achieved as much as me, to be honest. And, I started playing vibraphone when I was 24.
And that's a heck of an age to start an instrument like that as well. I mean, if you kind of pick up the bass or the guitar or something and you think, you know what, I might have a go on this. But the vibes, it's a giant thing to invest in.
I have to admit, I cheated a little bit because as a teenager, I had played very briefly drums and piano, very badly, only in rock music. And so if you think about it, the vibraphone is a combination of the two. So when I bought my first vibraphone at 24, having never played one before in my life, I found that actually it felt quite natural because it was a combination of the harmony of the piano and the percussion element of drums. So
yeah, that leads me to my next question, actually. Is it a percussion instrument or a harmonic instrument or both? Because it's both. Sometimes regarded as a percussion instrument, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, it's both. I mean, you know, some people will say, yeah, piano, that's a percussion instrument.
True.
I mean, you know, you're kind of hitting it and everything. So, yes, it is. But basically, it is theoretically a percussion instrument.
It also looks like the most gymnastic instrument to play, especially when you've got four sticks on the go. Do you do that?
Yeah,
a bit of that, a bit of Roy Ayres.
Of course, of course. Yeah, no, it's very aerobically good, you know.
Yeah. And are you a multi-instrumentalist apart from the vibes?
No,
you stuck with the vibes.
No. Oh.
Fantastic. Well, this is, as I said, your 19th album, 9 tracks on it, 6 originals from yourself. You've chosen some standards on there as well. And that was an original, right? Benign Tonight is hardly benign. It's beautifully rhythmical, actually.
Yes.
Tell me about the inspiration behind that. Is it wordplay there?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, I mean, I love wordplay, and I just can't help it. I just have this thing. I just have to mess with things. But anyway, Benign Tonight, maybe not the right title for a tune of that energy and everything. But, I mean, it was... I guess it's a homage to Bobby Hutcherson in a way, who was my original influence and the reason that I played. And so it has elements of some of the things that he would do or the way that he would do it. And so that was what was on my mind when it came together, that one.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Bobby Hutcherson in a moment. And you've done a version of his own Little Bee's poem. I think that for everyone, that seems to be the most cherished Bobby Hutcherson piece on there. You've also chosen some standards, as I said. Tell me, let's talk about the band first of all, though, because Robin Asplund on piano, Simon Thorpe on bass, and Winston Clifford, he's a great drummer. He can drive it hard or be super tender on the drums as well. How long have you guys actually played together?
I've been playing with Winston for over 30 years, but I mean, so I met him probably when he was a teenager, but I did my first acoustic jazz album. It came out in 1999, so he was on that, so was Robin, and so yeah, it was almost 20 years. We actually recorded it in 1998, so yeah, almost 20 years, and then we had a different bass player who left the country, and then we've had Simon ever since. So it's you could say I'm very loyal. I just think they're great, actually, and they understand what I'm doing, and they're versatile enough to be able to cover all the ground that I want to cover. Because what I find with some people is that they're incredibly good at specific things, and my tastes are very broad, you know, and I listened to a lot of music from when I was young, not jazz, and gradually over the years got into jazz, and a lot of those things that helped me get into jazz were the influence of some of the music that I made in the past. And so, well, it's just sort of ended up here, really.
Well, we lost Bobby Hutcherson, as most jazz fans will know, not so long ago. That was quite a shocker. I know he wasn't sort of, you know, a spring chicken, but it's one of those names you don't expect to see on an obituary so soon. I don't know why he forever remains young in my head, but
he wasn't that old. I mean, you know, early 70s. I mean, you know, he wasn't in his late 80s, let's say. But, I mean, I think he had been abusing his body for a long time, and he'd been quite ill for some time. He'd been in a, you know, he'd have to use an oxygen tank before he went on stage. And did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he had serious emphysema. And so, you know, years of smoking, basically.
Right.
And so he was struggling to deal with it. And his last album, Sentimental, well, not the last one, because there was one with David Sanborn, wasn't there, which was the came out a year or so before he died. But the previous one, Sentimental, it was very restrained by his standards, because one of the things about him was the amount of energy that he used to have and, you know, just all over the instrument. And then later he'd cooled down quite a bit, because he had to, really.
Yeah. What is your favourite era of Hutcherson? Because, like you, he had a long and illustrious career through different guises, different modes of music, if you like. He's played some quite abstract things along the way, hasn't he?
He has, yes. I mean, I came to him. I worked in a record shop, and the guy who ran the record department when I started working there was a jazz fan, and so there were jazz records about, which meant that I was like a kid in a sweet shop, you know. I love music, and there was a lot of things I'd never heard, and I was looking for new things, always have been. And so I thought, oh, I wonder what this is like. And so I heard the things that I first have heard of his were in the mid-1970s, and they were albums like The View from the Inside, Linger Lane, Montara, and those were probably the ones that were the biggest influence on me. And I didn't know the earlier stuff at that time, and so I came to that later. And so I think that I'm still the area that I'm most fond at is the ones that had the initial impact, probably because they had the initial impact, and they're the ones that made me want to play.
Well, let's play your take on Little B's Poem. This is a piece of music dedicated to his then young son Barry, right? Little B's Poem. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it is. This is from Roger Beaujolais' new album called Sunset. Play for you here on The Blueprint. Little Bee's Poem. Bobby Hutcherson composition. There's been some fantastic cover versions of that, and even vocal versions too. And it figures on the new album Sunset from Roger Beaujolais Quartet. And he joins me here on The Blueprint. Did you ever get to meet Bobby Hutcherson along the way?
Yes, actually. Very fortunate. There are a few times. I organised having an interview with him because I'd realised that it was probably my only chance to spend more than 30 seconds with him and just say, hey, I really like your music, thanks, you know, and him go, yeah, cool. And then, I organised this when he came over about 20 years ago. And so I went to meet him at his hotel. He said, you've got half an hour. And we were still there an hour and a half later. And it was just amazing because, you know, I loved his music, and I knew a lot about him. I had about 25 of his albums, so I was quite knowledgeable about him. And I think that he probably thought half an hour at the most, thinking I'd be some bloke who didn't really know much about what they were talking about. But actually, I was quite informed.
Kindred spirits.
Yes, yes, and he sold me some really interesting things. I don't know what you think about, you know, we always have this fantasy about how did so-and-so get to play with so-and-so, you know, and do you think, oh, did they see them in a bar, and were they really amazing, and that was it, and they thought, I've got to have this guy. And I said to him, you know, one of the things that put you on the map as far as people in this country are concerned is playing with Eric Dolphy on Out to Lunch. I said, how did that come about? And he said, oh, yeah, Eric, he was going out with my sister. And I think, you know, it's just sort of, I thought, oh, this is weird. And he was saying that the very first gig that he ever had was with a couple of guys, Billy Mitchell and Al Gray, who had just left Count Basie's band. And I said, how did you get this band? He said, oh, Billy was going out with my sister. And his sister was one of the Raylettes, which I didn't know.
With Ray Charles?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. And so he had a history. And then I said to him, this is great as well. I said, oh, you know, one of the albums that, you know, that kind of put you on the more straight ahead map in terms of Blue Note and enabled you to do more stuff was Dexter Gordon album, Getting Around, you know, where you're playing. And I said, oh, how did you meet Dexter? And he said, oh,
going out with his sister?
No. Dexter went to school with my brother.
Oh,
he said he had an older brother, and like when he said his older brother was like 13, 14, hanging about in the house with Dexter, and he was just crawling about in diapers, he said. And then years later, Dexter became a musician. He started his play, and then they made that connection because of his brother.
Wow.
And you think, well, it's all family business, you know. I was straight on the phone to my sister saying, hey, can you get off with Herbie, you know, or Chick Corea.
Imagine that.
Never happened.
Wonderful stories. You played at the Crypt in early June down there. How was that?
Oh, great. Actually, I love it.
Yeah, and you're going to be playing at the Swanage Jazz Festival later on tonight, today, this afternoon? When
Indeed.
Is it?
It's 12:30, actually, so it's not that long at all.
Okay, just enough time to get home, have some cocoa and lie down and then to the Swanage. And this is the last Swanage Jazz Festival, which is a bit of a shame. You said it's ending. Why is that?
I think that, well, there are three or four people who have run it over the years. One of them's been the figurehead and the other in the back. You know, the back room somewhere, and effectively they've been doing it for so long they're all getting on for 80. Some of them have become ill and they're just not able to cope, and they haven't managed to find anyone else who can take over those roles and function. And so I think that the guy who actually runs it would have liked to have carried on a little bit longer. Maybe he's a few years younger and he's less, you know, less ill. But that's what's happened. It's unfortunate because it's been going for about 25 years.
Go and support the last one and see Roger later on today, 12:30. And then off on tour again around Italy and somewhere, right?
Well, I do regular trips to the East Coast, Rimini, and I stay there, and I know some musicians locally. They organise gigs for me in that area down the coast. So I play in lots of places that I'd never heard of before. Well, like Ravenna, Pesaro, or Riccione, Misano, yeah, all sorts of things up and down that coast. I love it.
Not a bad place to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a bit hot.
Good work if you can get it, they say.
I think the difference is that they have virtually all the gigs I do are outdoors, and you can rely on the weather.
Yeah.
Unlike here.
Not even any need for a marquee or anything. It's like a town square sort of vibe, isn't it?
There's a lot of those, a lot of town squares, and also on the beach or next to the beach and stuff. Oh, yeah. It's idyllic, yes.
The festival circuit in the summer is wonderful for jazz musicians, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, here God, it comes, yes. Like a tidal wave, and you ride the wave, and
yeah.
Small ones, big ones. You've also, of course, played with many great names along the way, pop acts like Duffy, Paul Weller, right? And drum and bass Don Ronnie Sides as well along the way.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fair to say, over the last 20 years or so, you've gone fairly straight ahead jazz and sort of concentrated on that.
It's true, yes. I think that, in a way, with Vibraphonic, I mean, you know, I loved doing that, and it was the kind of music that helped me get into the sort of jazz that I'm playing now. And I don't think I could have played or related to the kind of jazz that I'm playing now if I hadn't gone through that period. So it meant a lot to me, but it felt like it ran its course. I mean, when I did my last album, I sent it out to radio, and they what I heard back is, no, we're not doing acid jazz now, it's all smooth jazz.
Ew.
Couldn't get any plays at all, and then people were saying to me, oh, you should make a smooth jazz album. I thought, well, I don't want to make a smooth jazz, you know, I just want to do the things I would do. And it's funny, I just make the music I like, people label it. The other thing is that in order to play those gigs with that music, I had to take a whole load of equipment out that was back-breaking. And I was doing some serious damage to my body. And I thought, I can either carry on do this, and then I probably won't want to do it for very long. Or I could do something acoustically that will be less of a struggle physically for me to do, and probably my career will last a lot longer, and I went for that option.
Like I say, it's been lovely chatting to you. The album is Sunset. See Roger Beaujolais Quartet at the Swanage Jazz Festival later today. And if you don't mind, I'll finish off with another original from the album, Roger, Round the Houses. It's kind of bebop-ish.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It took me years to like bebop. I mean, you know, if you imagine, I grew up listening to the Beatles, and then I saw Hendrix when I was 15, and, you know, saw John Lee Hooker when I was 15, and all this, 14, actually. And all that. So I was really immersed in blues and stuff, and I really needed a backbeat in order for me to appreciate something. And as soon as it wasn't there, for me, in my upbringing, my background, there was something serious missing. And so when I heard bebop, I thought, it was all a bit weird, you know, it was all a bit angular, and I didn't quite get it, but bit by bit I did. And then I got to love it, and I think that it's the most amazing thing. I mean, and it's not that I don't like all the other things I've always liked. I like them all simultaneously, but I really particularly like bebop, and it took me a long time to actually write something in that genre that I thought I was happy with.
Here it is.
That's it.
Roger Beaujolais, thanks for joining me.